Sorry, the over-under on members of Bird Brain showing up today is 2.5. Right now, we're sitting at 2.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard from the other piece of Bird Brain, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, the third wheel of Bird Brains. No, wait, there's a... Oh, you sent a message earlier. Yeah,
I did. Yeah. Like 10 minutes ago.
You know what? We're just going to get started.
Let's start
Bird Brains. We can't... We got to give the people what they want. The 23 people that listened to last week's...
They're all waiting. They want to know what's going on a bye week. So I'm here for that same reason. I mean, what do we talk about on a bye week? Let's just dive in.
Well, I mean, we got to start by talking about Richmond. What was that?
Who needs to talk about that?
You don't want to talk about it? Nobody wanted to talk about it before either. Yeah.
We can talk about it. I mean, it was honestly, I'm one of the most currently probably positive people, Tech fans, when it comes to Virginia Tech football. But I stopped watching the game ended and I sat there on my couch and I said, I can't think of one positive thing that came from the game. I don't know of a positive. I can't think of, wow, that was really good. Even down to punting, we found out our punter can't throw the ball. I mean, everyone needs to know that. Literally everything about the game, there wasn't one positive. Can you name a positive?
Well, I think we did get some clarity on the some clarity on the quarterback depth chart. We know our punter isn't on it, so we know that. Sure. And he's not our emergency quarterback, and you gotta know,
you always need to know that. That is true. We always need to know that.
We also know that if we're playing an FCS team and their starting quarterback goes down, our starting defense will still have to play the entire game. We know that. So knowing where you stand is an important thing.
It is pretty unbelievable, the stats that I saw, at least our defense is holding up. I'm like, we literally played the backup quarterback for Richmond. Think about if we had to play our backup quarterback the whole game. We would have lost. So, they played backup quarterback.
Our backup quarterback was 0-for-1 with an interception in our own red zone.
Let's talk about that play. So, I went back and I rewatched that play. I never talk about play calling on here ever, hardly, but we literally sent both our outside wide receivers on go routes. We sent Tavion Robinson on a 25-yard out route, and we're on our own 5-yard line. So, in other words, for that play to work, our quarterback has to hold the ball for at least 5 to 6 seconds for that play to actually work. So then he's rolling out. He has to roll out. I mean, he's got to get out of the pocket because we forced him to say, we've got two go routes. We've got a 25-yard out route. You have to have the ball for at least 5 to 6 seconds in your hand. So you're going to have to roll out. And now we're going to make you throw the ball 20 yards downfield, again, in triple coverage, mind you. The position we put him in is horrible.
And the whole, he's essentially a pocket passer. So you think he's good at scanning the field, seeing, and I think he is. I think he's demonstrated that before. So he's good at but we rolled him out to the short side of the field. I think the short side of the field. And we're like, you have one option.
It's the only option. Literally the play is just for Tavion Robinson to get a 25-yard out. He's supposed to catch that. And they had two guys on him. The option is either that or you throw it away. And we know what happened. I mean, it's his first ever pass.
It's so cute. It's always cute. It's always too cute. And also what's the whole, you get a backup quarterback in, you're trying to get him some reps. You're trying to get him to build some success. He's earned it. Throw a screen. You always throw screens. Why not now? Why not now? It doesn't make any sense.
You don't give it something that Tom Brady can't even handle. Tom Brady can't handle that.
We showed more faith in our punter and our backup quarterback on reads than we give our starting quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
You know, some really big news, though, what we do know is we've answered the question, will it be over under 2.5 bird brains? It's at 3.
Three bird brains.
Man. Guest appearance today. So, how's it going, guys?
Guest appearance. You missed one show, and now it's a guest appearance.
Now it's a guest appearance.
Yeah, now it's a guest. Yeah. No, I agree with you guys about last week. Same comments and thoughts. I just feel like, you know, it's almost like we've got our playbook and it doesn't matter who's in the game. Like there's no need to adjust by that. It's just, or what the score is, just like, hey, this is what we're doing for this game, you know, no matter what. So, and sometimes that works well and sometimes, or most of the time it doesn't. So, but
I'm honestly to the point thinking that Cornelison is actually up there with like his play. He just has his head down and he's not actually looking like out at the field. So he's just looking at the play sheet. So you have to picture he's just up in the press box and he's just looking at the play sheet and then he never looks up at the field. So he's like, oh man, we have, oh wow, it's 2nd and 9. Oh, 2nd and 9. Yeah, I've got to play for that. Oh wait, we have our backup quarterback. I didn't look up. We have our backup quarterback and we're at our 5-yard line. I didn't know that.
True.
We could have been at our 30. It's been a lot better.
It's all the same though. It's like, it's the script. It works if we're on the script. If nothing goes wrong, it works. And if we're not on the script, it doesn't work. So like, I guarantee you they had scripted out whatever 4th series we're putting, you know, we're putting Knox in. These are the plays we're going to run.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, but we're backed up on our own 7 and we've only scored 1 touchdown. Are we still doing this? It's like, it's in the script. Stick to the script.
It says it right there. We practiced this on Friday. So we're doing it.
We walked through this on Fridays. We've prepared. This is what we're doing. And yeah. It's like, so, and even Knox is probably like, he's probably like, you know, holding his ears over the, he's like, wait a minute. We're holding his hands over the ear holes. You guys,
we're still doing this.
Y'all serious? Y'all serious? Probably like big, big.
You realize
I'm
in the
like,
game, right?
Yeah. Y'all are serious to the 20.
I saw him trying to keep sticking his chain neck down into his shoulder pads. He's like, oh man, they're serious. I got to put this in. What is going on?
Right. You know, he's like hands over the ear holes. Like, you guys, y'all know the handoffs have been working, right? Handoffs have worked. We can still, you don't want to hand, we can. All right. Well,
so
I'll
John,
this.
John, do you have one right before you hopped on? I was saying that I usually always can find positives from a tech game, but I couldn't find any on Saturday. Do you have any positives from the game? Positives.
Yeah, I got a great one. We won. We beat Richmond.
That's a good point.
At the end of the day, we didn't lose on the last second field goal. We didn't, you know, like whatever happened to JMU 10 years ago. Like we beat Richmond and we're moving on. So my thought is just, I mean, we haven't seen it yet. And I told you guys, I mean, I think we're either saving something for upcoming, you know, kind of games or really, and we've been just vanilla on purpose, but that is something we've been saying, but it's been saving it for the last like 5 years, right?
Yeah. So. He's been building this up for 6 years and we are going to unleash it on Georgia Tech. Regular season game against
Georgia Tech.
No, oh my God. You're so wrong about Georgia Tech, dude. Hey,
have you seen their quarterback?
I mean, no. No, as we discussed two podcasts ago, the rest of the world is not paying attention to Georgia Tech. Only you are paying attention to Georgia Tech.
Go watch a highlight. You'll be impressed. You're going to be like, oh, this is like Lamar Jackson in 2016. You know, first time watching Louisville, it's like, whoa, the boy can fly. So, and
do you want to talk about though the fact that UNC made Braxton Burmeister look good and Richmond made him look bad? Do you want to talk about that as it relates to how good Georgia Tech's quarterback looked in their two and two season? Lamar Jackson didn't go 2-2 in his first 4 games either. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's true. They played Clemson in there, so that's you know, that was a tough one.
Clemson is bad.
They played Clemson.
They are pretty bad.
They played Clemson without that quarterback Don's referring to. They played their whole season without that quarterback. Until he came into the game this past Saturday.
Did you guys?
So the Lamar Jackson of their team couldn't start.
No. He got hurt against Northern.
Oh, Illinois. Okay.
So yeah, he went down after like the first quarter against Northern Illinois, and then they ended up losing because the backup was horrible. And then he didn't play for the next 3 games until he came in like midway through the second quarter against UNC, and they literally couldn't stop him. But again, like you just said, who knows how good UNC's defense is?
I'm interested to get you guys' thoughts. I mean, we all kind of know this is our open week, obviously, and like Hokie Land is steaming after last week's bear win over Richmond. But there was a lot going on in the football world. Like, anything stand out to you guys? There was a lot of good games on Saturday, and also like just in the ACC, a lot of movement. So like, anything come out to you guys in just like college football, just in general, and that you guys are enjoying or that you're watching?
There was ACC action last night. We're recording this on Friday. Miami and UVA played mm-hmm. last night in a very important coastal game.
Yeah, it was so sloppy. Did you all watch any of it? It was really – it was some ugly
I didn't.
Football. Ugly football.
Who
won? Weekend was pretty crazy. I mean, it was not supposed to be a crazy weekend of college football, but it was pretty nuts.
So John, the Miami-Virginia game last night, Miami should have won. They were driving with 2 minutes left in their field goal range already. They've got, I think they have timeouts, but at least they have, you know, they have timeouts because they're running the ball into the middle of the field. They're down like two. They need to score. Manny Diaz does something I don't think I've ever watched another college coach do. He wasted two downs. He's got plenty of time, plenty of timeouts. He used second and third down to line up the kicker into the middle of the field. A freshman, a true freshman kicker, a true freshman college kicker, and he plunked it off the uprights. When they had momentum.
No.
And Virginia raced out to an early lead. So like Miami had built back. They had the momentum. And De'Ara King went down, I think. Their backup quarterback was in, but they were moving the ball. Is that right? Did I make that up?
So De'Ara King, he went out there. He passed two games. So he was out last week, too, for their game there. But, so UVA's defense was done for. I mean, fourth quarter, they're done. Like, Miami could do anything they want. Like, they could have
everything.
Touchdown. Like, there's no doubt they were going to score a touchdown.
Would have gotten a touchdown, 100%. Had plenty of time.
To Cameron Harris. Cameron Harris was going to score his third touchdown of the game, and they just stopped. They're like, no,
but it's really.
So Manny Diaz lost that game for Miami. Yeah. Like, he put his kicker in a position of having to make a kick, like, to win the game. He plunked it off the uprights. Virginia wins. So Miami is done in the ACC, basically.
They're done. Yeah. So Miami and UNC, who, if you've read anything about preseason football, these were the teams that were to beat, and Clemson, right? It's like, and these teams are now like treading water, you know, it's crazy. So
I like to think of like
drowning,
I
like not treading water, drowning.
I like to think of like every other coach in not an ACC conference, every time they read, this is the team to beat in the ACC, just being like, oh, that's hilarious. A team to beat in the ACC. Wake Forest is the team to beat this week, guys. And then they all have a good laugh and then go back to like drawing X's and O's on the whiteboard.
Right.
I do wonder if De'Ara King, I mean, De'Ara King is their team. So like him not playing, like they would have beaten UVA by two touchdowns if he was playing. But like, will he come back? What's the point of him coming? Like, why would he come back? I don't even know why he came back this year anyway. Like, I don't even understand why he's even playing at all.
I don't know enough about
he
this.
He may come back. He was going to go pro, you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. I mean, he's okay. I guess, yeah, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I think he wanted to prove. He thought Miami was going to win the national championship is what it like sounded like, you know? I mean, he thought they were going to be like 10-2. Yeah.
And then he tore his ACL in spring practice.
He couldn't have thought Miami was going to win the national championship.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He plays for Miami. Anybody that plays for Miami.
Didn't you see, last night they're down, 14-0 or something, and they finally score a touchdown, and they come over to the sidelines, and they take, like, a team picture. The announcer goes, that may be the most Miami thing I've ever seen.
That's what I was just about to say. The most Miami thing ever.
I caught the announcer saying that, they got a turnover, and he's like, yeah, well, they're only down 12, so it's still okay to use the turnover chain. And like the color commentary guy was like, is that a Miami rule? Is that a rule? He's like, no, that feels like a rule I'm saying. He's like, they're not down by that much, so it's not ridiculous to talk about that. He was like making excuses for talking about the turnover chain already.
But I mean, Miami only has one loss. I mean, UNC and UVA have two, so they're sort of out of it. I mean, really, Miami is It's like Miami, Virginia Tech, and who else is in Pitt and Georgia Tech. Those
it's the other
side of our division.
I think it's Pitt. I think it's Pitt to beat. Like, I'd love to hear, like, who's the team for you guys? It's like, that's the team I think that's going to win it, you know, be in the championship no matter what. I think Pitt's got it pretty, like, they're, you know, they got the experienced quarterback. They got a great defense. Like, I don't know. I see them in there pretty easily. But that's just my thought.
So,
they don't have a great defense. They lost to Western Michigan last week, and they got scored on them by Western Michigan. But no, the defense is not Pitt's thing.
John, I appreciate you jumping in here and stealing my position as most uninformed college football fan on the podcast.
Good. I did not watch last weekend.
No, neither did I. I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. But it sounded good. So
Pitt's thing is Addison. Like, Jordan Addison is – Addison's ridiculous. Like, his highlight reel last week – or 2 weeks ago when they lost Western Michigan, last week is when he put up, like, I don't know, ridiculous numbers, 4 touchdowns for hundreds of yards. He looked like Michael Vick at receiver. So they just really put the ball in his hands, and he just takes over. But this weekend, they have Georgia Tech. Like, that game's legit. Georgia Tech, Pitt.
I just want to remind our listeners, both of them, that you should listen when Chris speaks and pay no attention when John and I speak. The actual two bird brains are me and John.
Except for John King, and we have to give the respect where it's due right now, of his call on Clemson this year. I mean, come on now.
Hey, I didn't know how long it would take you guys to get back to that, but you're welcome.
He's like, I didn't know how many times I would have to remind you of that over text before you guys brought it up. And it turns out it's only 20
you're
times.
Welcome.
I didn't need to remind you 21 times.
How many years
have Lightning? Yeah, I was going to say.
How many years have we been doing bird brains? Because John's called it every year, and it finally has happened. So
season 4, he predicted this through 3 seasons of Trevor Lawrence.
I was way off. I should have never done it with Trevor Lawrence. But now it's coming to fruition, and I'm reaping all the benefits. So it's great. It feels good.
So John,
I will say, I can't believe
this is like the full downfall. Like, not just this season. You think this is like a whole Clemson empire downfall?
I think it was a bubble. You know, I just don't think that it's sustainable. Like, from a recruiting perspective, they had an advantage last year again because the recruits didn't have a chance to go to all these other schools. They're going to start to, like, kind of spread out a little bit more than they did. You know, I think, you lose 2 games and you're going to a bowl or something as Clemson. Like, that doesn't look very sexy for a recruit coming in. And then also, like, just got to think about the ACC as a whole. It just got, like, way less attractive to a lot of players, you know, that want to be in the spotlight that are down to Texas and Oklahoma and you know, Bama. And it's like, okay, yeah, come to the ACC. We play one team that's ranked all year. Like, that just doesn't sound great. So I do think it's going to be a uphill battle. I worry that it's going to push them to be even more inclined to listen to the SEC. That's just kind of my thought, like them and Florida State, because they see it, I'm sure, and they know that they got to do something about it, because they can't not play another ranked team all year and then lose 2 games. That just doesn't look good. So I do think it's a bigger, much bigger issue than just, wow, they're down this year.
I think all that's true, except Kirk Herbstreit's sons still play on that team. And Dabo is in the pocket, and wisely in the pocket of ESPN. And like, he's got a good message. I mean, it's not like he just walked into a team that was winning constantly. Like, he's lost games before. And so I think you're right in that the ACC is definitely less attractive than the SEC now. And like, the NIL stuff is going to matter so much, because like, Clemson, South Carolina is a tiny place. And like, South Carolina as a whole is not like a huge, like, marketing juggernaut. And so, you know, if you can, as Trevor Lawrence 5 years ago could have signed $1 million marketing deal out of high school, like, to go anywhere. Are they still able to get him to go to Clemson? I don't know. But I would say that, like, Florida State in the 90s in the ACC didn't play ranked teams every week. They didn't play anybody, you know, and they still made it to the national championship. They still had, like, year over year recruiting classes that allowed them to win the national championship, multiple national championships. I don't think it's over for Clemson, but I don't think, like, they can expect the year over year we're going to the playoffs like they did with Trevor Lawrence and why do I want to keep forgetting his name? The quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Yeah,
they Deshaun just can't, Watson. Yeah.
And even Taj Boyd, right? Taj Boyd was like, you know, I mean, it's like,
yeah. Oh yeah, way back. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins. I mean, that was like the start of it. And that happened.
The transfer portal hurts them too, dude. Every time you watch a game, like watch Ohio State game, or like I'm sorry, Michigan State's quarterback was the backup for Clemson. Like that stuff is going to hurt them. Everybody whines about how that hurts Virginia Tech and how many players we lose. Like we have a starter on our team that played at Clemson last year. You can't tell me they wouldn't want to have Jordan Williams there. You know,
that's right. Like they need Jordan Williams right now. Yeah. They've lost both their starting D tackles. Like they need Jordan Williams.
Yeah. And so that stuff that hurts everybody. It levels the playing field for everyone except Alabama.
Right. Because what the difference is, Alabama is literally sitting there and just picking who they want out of the transfer portal. Like Tennessee starting linebacker Henry Toa Toa last year led the SEC in tackling. He goes in the transfer portal. Alabama's like, yeah, we need a linebacker. Okay, you can come start for us. Michigan's best wide receiver went in the transfer portal. Alabama's like, our best wide receiver just won the Heisman. You can come play for us. I mean, like, they're just picking who they want out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. We made Matt Jones look amazing. We can, whoever's throwing the ball will get it to you. Trust us.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Yeah. So, who are you guys? Before we go to the, I will say the Clemson game, though, was really hard to watch on Saturday, even though it was fun to watch because they lost, but. Like the announcers literally would not talk about NC State. I don't know if you guys watched it, but like I just watched the fourth quarter. They would not talk about NC State. They just kept talking about like basically how the injuries have played Clemson this game and like how they're down. Like it was definitely like they lost the game more than like NC State won it. And like it was just really hard to watch. Like so Shipley got hurt, you know, their main guy. I think he's a running back or something, but like the announcers, you would have thought that they have no running back. It was like, they were like, oh my goodness, this is just awful. I can't believe they bring in this other guy who's a five-star, you know, running back that just signed. I'm like, they're fine. Like if any other team had this happen, it would be fine. So anyway, it's a hard watch with Clemson. That's why I'm okay with them taking a downward spiral.
They're still ranked 25. They're 2-2. It's like,
right. No.
Yeah. They lost to an unranked team. Like, went to Mississippi State and lost about three touchdowns. Like, it's not like there's some like crazy good team.
Yeah, they still are. Yeah, and it's going to take more than one down season for them to like completely fall off. Like they're still in marketing and branding Clemson.
It happens quick though. Like LSU, I mean, it's crazy how quickly in the college football world you can drop, you know? So it's in this day and age, like it's pretty wild. So
it took us 6 years. Are we at rock bottom right now?
Yeah, we were just like
– it took us like 11 years. I mean, it took a long time.
Yeah.
It was a slow clap. It was like
– you could feel it. You could feel it.
Yeah.
And then all excited, like beating Ohio State at Ohio State. We're like, we're back. This is it. We're back.
There we go. There we go.
One game every 2 years that we're like, we're back.
It might have been longer – our downfall might have been longer than that. It might have started with the – Marcus Vick loss to Miami game, like the 2005 game where like we just that was the apex. I feel like you could talk about like 2011 or like Sugar Bowls, but like that was that was our last like legitimate shot. Maybe 2007 we had a legitimate shot.
No, we would have won the championship in 7, right? Like that was our year. I mean, if LSU that was like
we lost by 160 points to LSU that year,
but we came back. The end of the year team could have beat, I think, you know, we would have been in the playoffs for sure that year. So
I'm going to tell you all that, this is great. It's going back. I did some research this week on our offensive coordinators. Cause I was like, you know, if I were to rank our offensive coordinators, like Steine, Leffler and Korn, like what would I rank them? You know, like really wanted to look at their scoring, rushing, passing total. So I'm going to take you back to 07. Cause I got it right here in front of me. I'm glad you brought it up. In 07, we ended with the 100th on the dot ranking offense in the country.
So sick.
Top 5 team. Like, think about if we would have had Korn then. We would, I mean, he's top 50 every year. Like, it's crazy how bad Steinspring was. Like, every Virginia Tech fan needs to put it in context because Steinspring was horrible.
Are you saying Korny, though, with the transfer portal? Because in that universe, we might have had Sean Glennon and Tyrod transfer out and Corey Holt starting for us. Is that Where do you think we would have been?
See, you didn't know back then, though. Like, we've got Mark Leal transferring to Maryland. Like, it wasn't known then, though. We did have quarterbacks transferring out. Just no one knew about it. Like,
Yeah. But what I'm saying is we would have transferred out, like, the Quincy Patterson on our team, you know, the Tyrod Taylor at the moment, and kept Mark Leal. And then, like, and then you got a 5'6" pocket passer back there.
It feels like we have one now. For some reason, Braxton seems like he's, like, 4 feet tall. I don't know why. But
oh man, so you're saying, yeah,
so looking at the stats, it was very like eye-opening to me of how bad Scott Leffler was. He was our worst offensive coordinator we've ever had. So like when he was the 3 years he was our offensive coordinator, we ended the year ranked 103rd, 100th, and 74th when he was our offensive coordinator.
He was also easily our most stressed looking offensive coordinator.
Oh, he's still, if you watched him,
He needs to, I'm not saying about anything about his talent level or capabilities, like just the way he looks, he needs to retire from football. He needs to get that retirement bounce. Cause it doesn't look like it's going to last. It can't go on at this rate. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We should. And this takes it right back to John's very first question of college football of last weekend, but last weekend, Minnesota gets upset by Scott Leffler and Bowling Green. Did you watch this?
No, I did not watch a Minnesota versus Bowling Green.
Is that an upset?
Oh, no, I didn't know
Minnesota was good.
John, is that an upset? Bowling Green was underdogs by 31.5 points.
You're
talking to the guy who went 2-10 last week. And
so did I, John. Yeah, so did I. 2-10.
Whoa. How are we both 2-10? That's actually, we're playing the odds.
It was worse than they even talked. It was worse than when we lost OD. It was that bad. Bowling Green literally in the last 4 years has not won more than one game. Like, it was bad.
Scott Leffler, though.
Wow.
It's not that he was a bad offensive coordinator exactly. It's that because he could draw up games like where he had a plan. Like, I remember some Georgia Tech games where he had a plan and it worked beautifully. It's just that, like, it's the same thing that we've been dealing with, like, ever since Steinbrenner, actually ever since Ricky Bussell, is like, we have been like maddeningly inconsistent and just like going away from things that work, where Bussell, right? It was Ricky Bussell. Like, you knew what we were going to do and we just did it over and over and over again. We never went away from it. If it was working, we stayed with it. And like, you know, and of course having Michael Vick help, but that was true all the way through. And then eventually we chased him, like ran him off to Louisiana Lafayette. And replaced them with people who have no instincts. Like, they're, you know, just no feel for it at all. And that's no judgment, because I would do exactly what you described. Like, it's I got a 3rd and 9 play, and like, who's in the game? I forget who's in the game. I don't know. And then like,
I don't think he looks up. I really don't think he looks up. But as much as I don't want, out of my research, I looked at it, I was like, Cornelison is literally the best offensive coordinator we've had in the last 20 years. Like, it's literally the best we've had. I mean, our offense finished top 40 twice during Steinbrenner's 10 years as our offensive coordinator. Leffler never came close. And then Corns had 3 years in the top 40. Like, that's crazy.
Wow. Oh, God. But what's bad is those 3 years coincided with like the worst defenses we've ever had.
Right. Exactly. Then, right. Yep.
And now that we have
The year we finished 39th in the country in offense, our defense finished 125th in tackling. Like, we were horrible. You all remember watching every game and we could not tackle. Like,
it
was horrible, but we actually like had a good offense.
Yeah. Could we ever just put the two together? Could we have a number 40 offense and a number 40 defense and just see how that plays out? Could we do that?
What would happen there? It's hard. Like, that actually would be an interesting thing to see, is like how many teams can be that, because it's really hard to be both, you know, kind of up there. Like, you got teams that are great at one, and there's always that delta between, like, if you're great at defense, then you're going to slow your offense down or whatever that looks like, you know. So, yeah.
But you could pick.
Yeah,
I mean, what does Bama rank in offense? Typically, I mean,
that's a good question,
because they're not like an offensive juggernaut necessarily.
Top 25.
Is that going to be
they're not an offensive juggernaut?
I mean, in that, like, their Saban's point has always been like, kill you with defense. And like, you know, like they've gotten much better at offense, but like back in the day, remember those like 6-9 games with LSU? Like he's added the offensive component, but it started with,
right. Yeah. So in the last 5 years, Alabama's offense has become, yeah, nasty. I mean, yeah. You're talking, when Lane Kiffin was their offensive coordinator, they scored 55 a game. I mean,
would you want Lane Kiffin to be our head coach?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Really?
Me too. Oh,
are
me
you,
too.
You watched Ole Miss this year.
Why? Because he's dreamy.
You can't stop watching them. Like, I can't stop. You put it on, you won't be able to stop watching it. You're like, Matt Corral, I love, like, everything about them you will fall in love with.
Really?
Do y'all think that, like, Fuente doesn't want to call plays because everyone right now thinks he's a genius play caller, but if he starts, you know, it's like, you know, open your mouth and remove all doubt. You know, better to be thought stupid and remain quiet than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Because
like,
if he gets fired, he can get a Power 5 offensive coordinator job. But if he took over the reins and it went bad, he's not getting that job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, he would get a head coach. I mean, in my opinion, like, he would still be in the market right now as a head coach for, like, there's so many bad schools out there. I mean, you know, he could find somewhere, you know.
Not
like,
in Power 5. No way.
No.
Not in Power 5 football.
You don't think so? Like, Vanderbilt or, like, any of those places? Like, I don't know. He's
not getting an SEC job.
Like,
an SEC job?
You don't think so?
Yeah. No. SEC job?
No.
But
if he's getting fired,
he's
going to be the offensive coordinator at TCU if he gets fired. Like that,
like
he's
at TCU or Notre Dame.
Go back to his roots.
Yeah.
Notre Dame. Yeah. You think he's going to become the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame?
No.
I don't know.
You know,
I agree with y'all.
If I was Fuente and I got fired, what I would do is retire. He gets $7 million $7 to $10 million. Like, just cool. I'm going to do some skiing.
What are the deals on that contract again? I think it changes this January, right? Like, didn't we something changes
December
pretty big?
10. Yeah.
What are the terms though? Like, what does that change?
So it drops like $4 million that we owe him if we fire him on December 10th.
Really?
Yeah.
If Chris, so you're saying Corney's the best offensive coordinator we've had in a decade and a half.
It is.
If, and you've been a, like, kind of a staunch, like, don't fire Fuente. He's the guy. Cornelson's like doing pretty good. Justin Hamilton's doing good. But you also came away from the Richmond game feeling like there's nothing positive to talk about.
Right.
Where are you on all of that stuff now in light of last week's game?
I still am in a no firing zone. Like, you just don't fire him. I just feel like it makes your program, like, we have a top 15 ranked recruiting class right now. Like, I mean, you just don't do it right now. You can't do it right now, especially after a loss. I mean, after a win. I mean, like John said, we did win. So you can't fire him. I think he's not going to. I feel like he went into that conversation with Witt at the end of the year last year, and he brought these numbers that I looked up this week on Cornelison. He's like, we have a top 40 offense, you know, 4 of the last 5 years. And he like took that to Witt, and Witt's like, yeah, you're actually right. Even though it doesn't look like it on the field and everyone complains about, you know, everything that we do, but we actually do. So
I still think it was the right decision not to let him go last year though. Cause just COVID and everything. Like, yeah, I just think it was the right move. So yeah,
I agree.
I think what actually happened is that either somebody from like, you know, the board of visitors was like, no, this isn't, you're not right now, not with COVID. You're not spending $12 million to fire a coach. It's like, just cut it out. Or our number one candidate, whoever that was, had some huge 11th hour skeleton in the closet show up. And it was like, we've already announced we're having a press conference. We can't introduce, you know, this coach. And so we just have to like babble through and, you know, because if Fuente had made the arguments that like that you're making, which are true, if he had made those arguments, Witt would have come out and been like, here are the facts. But instead he was like, I called this press conference because I just really like hanging out with people and I missed you. And, you know, so, I think to me, because of the recruiting aspects, like it's top 15 right now based on numbers, but it's not going to end up top 15. I don't think but
it'll be
to
top
me,
30.
He's got to win the Coastal convincingly, not limp into the Coastal. Like, he's got to win the Coastal, like, without leaving a doubt. I'm not saying he can't lose a game, drop a game here or there, but like it can't be a six-way tie with three losses for the Coastal and Virginia Tech limps in. Like it's got to be like you're winning it and you have a shot at beating whoever's on the you know Atlantic side. Yeah. Because otherwise you don't have anything to sell to recruits. Like you continue to have doubt about whether he's going to be the coach here for long term to sell to recruits and like that, you know. And yeah. I hope he is. I hope he does it and like stays there. Cause I think there's a lot of promise to me with like Justin Hamilton. You all know I love. I just need to bring him up. I wrote his name down. Well, you see it behind me, the heart with Justin Hamilton written in it, plus Scott. Justin plus Scott in the heart back there. I just really love him. And I hope he hears this.
Very well.
So John, you think Pitt is winning the ACC or winning? You think they're winning the ACC or the Coastal?
The Coastal, yeah. But honestly, I think they. I mean, I think Clemson comes back and just wins the whole thing. I guess NC State may lose another, but NC State has to lose twice, right?
They have to lose twice in conference,
which they can.
They might. Yeah, that's true. They lost to Mississippi State. Yeah,
but they have to lose twice, yeah, so I think Clemson has to not lose again. And Clemson can lose again.
Yeah. That's true. Because they play Florida State, too, which I know Florida State's lost a lot of stuff, but they will be 0-4,
dude. They're 0-4 with a loss to Jacksonville State.
Did you see the end of that game, by the way, the Jacksonville State game?
I saw the whole second half. Yeah, it was.
The whole second half? Oh, my goodness. Scott, have you seen the last, like, 3 minutes of that
play.
Game?
Yeah, just the last play.
Yeah. I just watched the highlights the last like 3 or 4 minutes, but like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they lost that game. Yeah, I think my vote would be Clemson and Pitt in the championship. Clemson wins out, it goes to the Orange Bowl, and it's kind of a normal year. But that's just my thought. What are you guys?
I'm taking right now. This could change next week because the load of ACC games this weekend is amazing. But I'm gonna take Virginia Tech from our side, and I'm gonna take BC. From that side.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Clemson could Georgia easily lose to BC. BC's a good team.
Yeah.
Clemson, you know,
yeah, this are. Weekend too.
Virginia Tech could easily lose to BC. So that hurts our, yeah, but you got to take, like, we're in the driver's seat. We're 1-0, you know?
Yeah. I like our matchup against Pitt. And that's the only reason I put us in above Pitt. I would almost put Pitt second, but I just like our matchup there. Like what we do best is what they do best, like shutting down Addison. We can do that. Justin Hamilton can shut down Addison. It might be a 14-17 game, but I think we can win. Every one of our ACC games is going to be a one possession game. It's like, what can we do on our last possession?
This is,
and plus or minus will be like within 5 points, probably all of them, honestly, like in the line. So
yeah,
I don't think there's any clear cut favorite. I think I think we have the, you know, we're in the pole position right now because we have a win. We have a win over UNC. And like, you know, having that one win is huge at the moment. I mean, it's hard for me to pick against Virginia Tech because I'm a homer. So I think I'm picking us on the Coastal side too. But I think anyone could come out of the Coastal. I think Virginia could still come out of the Coastal. You know, it's like, and or Miami, like if Miami gets healthy and, you know,
If De'Aaron King comes back and plays and healthy, they may not lose a single game and then they're going to have it. Then they would go.
I don't see Clemson figuring it out this season. Not right now. I don't think two and two. Yeah. It's, I mean, that year that we won the ACC after starting 2-2, like that doesn't happen very often. Like that's, I mean, Clemson has to run the table with the team that they have right now. And they're only going to have more injuries and more, you know, like speaking of injuries, if you notice like Skalski's hurt, but they still manage to talk about him all the time. Like, do they just like the way the word sounds coming off your tongue? Like he's not going to play. Just stop.
I think it's his neck roll. They're like, wow, we haven't seen a guy with a neck roll in a long time.
Yeah. He just walks in a room and he just, I don't know. My heart flutters a little bit. And I just wanted you guys to know about Skalski. Skalski has the effect on a game announcers that Justin Hamilton has on me. That's like,
that's great.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say Tech, and I think BC also right now. I think I'm going Tech BC, which could be just cowardice because I don't want to shout out another Atlanta team and then have Chris tell me that they just lost to Bowling Green or whoever they just lost.
Yeah,
well, BC. I mean, did y'all watch their game?
I've done it twice.
No, you watch so much college football. How do you do this? How many TVs do you have?
I got the 3 TV setup. I sent you the picture last year.
You're Phil Still. You're actually Phil Still. You're like.
So BC last weekend, they are down by a field goal to Missouri. And then their kicker comes on, ties the game, goes into overtime. Their running game is nasty. And that's what Clemson right now has lost 2 D tackles. And your boy right there, the linebacker, could be out this week. Like, I don't know how they're 15-point underdogs. I mean, just because Clemson's getting 2 touchdowns, even though Clemson hasn't scored more than 2 touchdowns in a single FBS game this year. But they're
lock of the week. Favorites. Lock of the week.
That's your lock of the week.
My lock of the week last week was UNC over Georgia Tech. Like they were like 12-point favorites or something, and they lost by 20. So don't. I'm not.
Well, who knew that Jeff Sims was going to come in at quarterback? You didn't know that. You didn't know.
I mean, but for them to beat Georgia Tech by more than 12 and a half, I would have expected them to score more than 20.
Since we want to stick in the ACC, stay in the ACC, and with my lock of the week, I think this week I'm going Louisiana Tech covering 18 and a half against NC State. Oh man, I love that spot.
I wanted to pick that.
That Louisiana Tech, their starting quarterback got injured a little bit in practice this week, but he was number one on the depth chart yesterday. I saw. I like the 18 and a half. I like the spot. NC State just coming off beating Clemson. Louisiana Tech was up 30-12 on Mississippi State at Mississippi State the week before NC State went there and got crushed by Mississippi State. So I just love Skip Holtz coming to town and taking it to NC State. Lock of the week. Lock it
awesome.
Up.
Awesome. John, how much time did you spend studying Louisiana Tech's depth chart this week? How much?
You would be embarrassed. How little time I spent.
What's a number less than zero? Is there a number less than zero in minutes I've spent on
yeah I was negative. They paid me to do that.
But you gotta love Chris, that actually,
yeah oh yeah yeah for sure that lines up really well, you know, with my whole like strategy, and everybody knows this at this point. Maybe you don't, but I think teams coming off of like big wins or losses, like it's college football and they're young kids, and so they always have a down the next week, you know, whatever that looks like. So I think there's a lot of games going on, but I would say for me the Texas TCU game, I know you guys haven't probably looked into that one, but I would pick TCU all day on that one. So
yeah, I've looked at it a lot. TCU has been 4-1 the last 5 games against Texas. Like, it's no joke. TCU controls them. I just don't like TCU defense this year is not nearly what it has been in the past. So that scares me a little bit. And the Texas over for the game is like 35. I'm like, if Vegas is setting Texas over at 35, that means that you have to expect TCU to put up over 30 points, which is – that's a little dangerous. But, yeah, I like it.
My lock of the week is I'm going to do better than 2-12 or 2-10 in the pick'ems because it's hard to do worse.
Yeah.
So if you can get this line in Vegas and you can take Scott 2.5, do it all day. Do it all day. 2.5. Yeah. At least three.
Yeah.
I feel just as good about it as I did last week, honestly. So I'm not going to give you an actual lock of the week. I do think we should talk, because this is going to come out tomorrow morning, Saturday. We should talk Notre Dame. What do you think is happening in our Notre Dame game? Knowing we have no idea what's going to happen in their game this week, but we're coming off by.
I thought you wanted to talk about their game this week. I mean,
let's do it. Talk about their game this week.
They're underdogs, right?
Underdogs by 2 at home against Cincinnati. A lot of people, I mean, it goes either way. What side are y'all going with that? I mean, Notre Dame is right now, Jack Cohen, he has a hurt ankle, so he hasn't been practicing all week. So, you know, he's already an immobile quarterback. So I don't know if it matters much that he has a hurt ankle, but Notre Dame last week, I don't know if y'all watched the Wisconsin game at all, but it was 13-10, and then Wisconsin's quarterback throws 2 pick sixes, and all of a sudden they lose.
That's 41-13. All right, so I told you guys, I was watching it until the fourth quarter, and I was like, wow, this is close, and then I was doing some stuff, and then I looked, and they won by like 30 points. I'm like, what happened? Yeah. So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was some pick sixes, and
yeah, Wisconsin
more about the Wisconsin-Michigan game this week too, but Yeah, Mertz is always doing stuff like that to ruin Wisconsin. But yeah, back to Notre Dame. I mean, looking at it, I think we're going to be like 1.5 point favorites when they come to Blacksburg, really.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
It's going to be right at 1.5.
Me too.
I have my own power index number, and right now it's at like 1.5-2 Hokies.
How is your own power index? Yeah. How does that even work?
Yeah. What do you do? is it just a feeling? Are you just like writing it down on your whiteboard back there? Or is it like you have a thing you're developing over there?
I have it all written.
Wow.
And honestly, so
that Chris is a lot of numbers.
Chris just held up a notebook with a bunch of like numbers all over it. It honestly looks like something the FBI will pay close attention to if you're ever suspected. They're like, what do you think all these numbers are?
We didn't find anything, but we do have this.
And
the markings.
Three division line 6, 7, 8. What do you think? I don't know. It has to be.
Why would he possibly be doing long division?
I used to put it into an Excel sheet, and then I was like, this is so much faster if I just write it down.
There are oil fields in North Dakota. Do you think it has something to do with the oil fields? You think he was plotting an attack on the North Dakota oil fields? I mean, depending on what happens this week, I definitely picked Notre Dame to plus the points at home against Cincinnati. Like, I know Cincinnati's good, but Notre Dame's getting points at home in an evening game. Like, ooh, that doesn't feel right to me. So, you know, if Notre Dame responds to being the underdog in the way that I think they will against Cincinnati, I really hate the notion that we would be favored against them. You know, that's so easy to coach up your players. Like, look at the disrespect here. I hate it. But I also think we have our coaching staff seems to have like game plans well prepared for certain teams. And like Notre Dame is one of those teams. We do seem to like know how to play Brian Kelly, not necessarily beat him every time, but we know how to play it. So
mm-hmm.
I think the positive for this weekend in helping them, or if you want to pick Notre Dame, I think the positive is that their defense coordinator, Marcus Freeman. So he was the defense coordinator at Cincinnati last year. So I think that is a huge positive for Notre Dame now, him getting to play against everybody that he knows. The negative for Notre Dame is that possibly her quarterback, their run game with Kyren Williamson has been nothing whatsoever. I think this is Cincinnati's Super Bowl. So Cincinnati knows they win this game. They went out there in the playoff. So, like, that's the issue, is this is their Super Bowl. I did watch Cincinnati against Indiana a couple weeks ago, and Cincinnati, the first half didn't look that good, but their defense, their defensive backfield was legit in the second half. So, I think it'll be a close game. Looking at, like, Vegas line stuff, I'd probably take the under as far as score stuff goes and would stay away from, you know, Cincinnati -2. I just don't know. But it is their Super Bowl. So, looking at it both ways, I just don't know. I'm not going to pick it because it could go either way, but I think it'll be a good game.
So if you had to guess right now, well, John, what do you think about that? The Notre Dame's game against Cincinnati. And what do you think all of that means for our game with them coming up in a week?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I actually have to make this pick and then run. Sorry guys. But I would say this. So I think.
Is that at 2.5, Chris? Does that make it 2? Is it a push?
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know. It actually probably is a half. But I would say for this week on Notre Dame, I think that they definitely overlook Cincinnati. I could see them – it's going to be a tight game, but I could see them definitely losing that game pretty easily, given that Cincinnati's actually very good. And like Chris said, they got a lot more to lose, Cincinnati does. But, Chris, you got to think Notre Dame, they're just like Miami. They think that they also are making the playoffs, right? So their team is going to be just as amped. Like, it's not like they're out of it. If they had already lost the game, I would definitely say Cincinnati's going to win. But I'm picking Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame comes out with, like, a 7-14-point win. And then next week, I don't know. I just doubt that we've got the firepower to kind of match up with them. And I could see it being actually a very similar case next week. You know, they come out. They're going to be – the nice thing we've got going for us next week is they play USC the next week. And so – and they're coming off these like 3 straight weeks. So I don't know what their injury like rack up looks like, but man, playing against Wisconsin and Cincinnati, then us, like there's gotta be, you know, just some breakdowns that are gonna happen. So I think we have a shot. Long story short, I think they win pretty you know, convincingly this week, and then I think we're close with them next week. So, but I got to run, guys. That's my last drop the mic. So.
To drop right, it.
Go Hokies.
Yeah. go Hokies, man. Yeah, I see us. I don't know. But if we're going to lose games, I'm good with us losing to West Virginia and Notre Dame.
That's right.
Before
the season started, if you told me we're 3-2 heading into Pitt, and the one win is against UNC instead of West Virginia or Notre Dame, I'll take it any day
of the week. Yeah, because at that point, even if we finish 9-3, that's only one ACC loss. That puts us in the Coastal, and that does what I was talking about, like convincingly winning the Coastal. So
that's right. And we get Pitt at home. I mean, it's big time. Like,
yeah,
it really does help us. Like, if you look at the standings right now, I know it's all over the place in the ACC, but we really do have a good position to be in where we are.
I think we're in good shape, honestly. Yeah. As crazy as it sounds, as negative as like the game against West Virginia was, the way that ended, and as negative as like Richmond was, like we have the bye week now, like it's hitting us at a good spot, like, you know.
Yeah.
It sets us up to be able to potentially beat Notre Dame, but at least like build on some stuff. And if we can't do any of that, then what are we even doing here? You know, like then we just know. So, oh man.
if the line comes out, all right, let's say Notre Dame wins this weekend, then the line that's going to come out on Sunday of Notre Dame favored against us by probably 4.5. This guy's hopping all over from some Hokies if that happens. Like, there's no doubt.
If Notre Dame is favored by 4.5 because they roll over Cincinnati or whatever they're, you know, then you're taking Tech.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt. Yeah.
You know what I'll do? I'll not think about it again. I'll look at the line Friday night and make a pick. Just based on
next Friday when we're recording some Bird Brains.
How the old gut feels. I should make. Yeah, you know what I should do next week is just make my picks live on here so you can laugh at them as I roll screw as I no. scroll because it'll take
Let's
me 3 minutes.
Let's have some live picks.
All right, I'll do it.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And then, but don't tell me anything as I read the name of the game I'm about to pick. Don't tell me anything about the teams because then I'll actually know something about them.
And then you can make fun of it immediately after. I was going to say, can I say something about your pick or just my thoughts after you make it?
Exactly. Right after I pick it, because then you can tell me.
What's so great, like you can make a pick and then I could make fun of it or the opposite and I can be completely wrong too because it's Vegas and they're so good at their job.
Yeah. And no one will remember what happens unless I text you guys 100 times like John did to remind you of the pick I made, how brilliant it was, even though I've made the same pick 4 years in a row and it's worked 1 out of 3, you know, 1 in 3.
You're locked in the week of BC. I really do like it though. I'm with you. I like it. I like it better than your lock last week. So I'm with you.
I think your lock was BC, but I did pick it. I did pick BC. I think I picked it, but I'm never going to go back and check. Because Vegas is so good. It's such a roll of the dice. Like it just, you know, I don't know.
They're so good. There's the two guys in our Pick'em League right now that won the month last month, picked 30 games right. Like that's
amazing.
2%. Like that's amazing. Insane.
You know what, the games I stay away from all the time are when it's like the team is favored by 32.5 points or 31. I can't wrap my mind. I never get my head around the math. So I'm just like, that's crazy. And then like a few seasons ago, I would pick it all the time and be like, that team's going to cover 31 points. And then they don't. And I'm like, how in the world did they lose by this much? So now I just stay away from it. My pea brain can't process it. I just stay away.
I'll tell you what I don't stay away from. And this might sound crazy, but it comes back to why I watch like Group of Five games all the time to see it. But I don't stay away from Group of Five games. And the reason is Vegas has way more people watching the main games. They say never to try to pick like, you know, the 8 o'clock on Saturday night game, because that's the game Vegas knows the best. Like they have the number down perfectly. They know it. Whereas Nevada versus Boise State,
they don't know.
But they don't know as much. Like it's like picking NFL games. They know all about NFL because there's way people betting NFL. So like there's not as many people betting Fresno State and Hawaii this weekend. So they don't know as much. So I try to keep my research like as hard as it is sometimes, but like on these small teams. And that's why I try to know a little bit about them, because I like to pick those games.
I would never bet the NFL because the spread's always 1.5 points. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I can't.
It's a pick 'em every weekend. Like, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, Vegas knows
so much.
If you listen to people who like are good at it, they're like, oh, this team's getting 3 points this week. That's way too much. Like 3 points. Yeah. Like, what is this?
What? No, sometimes I'll watch NFL and I'm like, this is so rigged, because it's like this team, like they're up by 14, and then the ref's like, oh, wait. It's a 3.5 point spread.
We're dialing down.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers just threw a 45-yard pass. Let's move him 45 yards downfield on a pass interference, because that's legal in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
We'll get him on down the field here.
I've studied any of that. I don't know. But I do know that it's way too easy to just manufacture first downs in the NFL. Like holding on a receiver, all that stuff is like.
Oh, the pass interference is what drives me. That's why I can't even watch NFL sometimes, because of pass interference. Because Aaron Rodgers, the last 5 years, if you added it up, and he has more pass interference yards than like half the quarterbacks in the NFL have passing yards.
That's amazing.
From throwing the ball, launching it downfield, pass interference, that's 50 yards he gets for that. Like, he gets like 150 yards a game on pass
interference. Yeah, that's not fair.
It's not like that. That makes sense. Like, yeah. That's a rule that is dumb. Like, let's not have that rule.
Other rules that are dumb, I think, like holding it's 10 yards. It's drive killing every time, and it's so arbitrary.
And you can call it every play if you wanted to call every play and call it every play. Like, at least make it only 5 yards.
Make it 5 yards. Yeah. It's completely drive crushing every time.
Yeah. I agree.
You know why I can't watch the NFL? Because they zoom in on and replay constantly injuries. And I have a little sissy stomach, and I'm just like, can't watch that. I don't want to watch that. Like, I'm like, I can feel it. I can, like, I'm like, ow, 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 ow. And people are like, what are you saying ow to? I'm like, look how bad that must hurt. Like, you feel it? Like, I feel it. I don't want, like, in college, out of respect for, I guess, the amateurism of it, they don't, like, zoom in and show careers ending in the way that they do in NFL. It's like, God, like, oh, my God, this guy's kids are watching. Like, they just watch this. Yeah. And, like, I don't want to watch. Don't want to watch.
Did you watch any NFL games this year? Like, any of them?
No, I don't think so. Oh, well, actually, I mean, I've caught parts of them, but I haven't sat down and watched one all the way through.
So on Monday Night Football now, they have on ESPN2, Eli and Peyton Manning just talk the entire game. Like, they're not doing announcing. It is so fun to watch. Like,
I've watched that. Yeah.
Oh, it's so fun.
It's great.
Oh, it's the best. Like, they interview people and it's just so fun.
You know why? Because one of the reasons is I think Joe Tessitore's voice is like, I don't know, like too good for it. And it's like, it just grates me the wrong way. And like, but he's great on Holy Moly. Have you watched Holy Moly? He is amazing. Uh-huh. Oh, dude. Holy Moly is like Steph Curry's putt championship TV show. And it's Joe Tessitore and Rob Riggle. And it is so funny. And Joe Tessitore is like doing ironic announcing, and his voice is perfect for it. It's amazing. Whatever he's getting paid for the NFL, he should just get all of that money, not do NFL games and only do Holy Moly. It's so brilliant. And it's so funny.
It's just putt-putt.
It's like, it's more than putt-putt. I mean, it's putt-putt with obstacle courses. It's like that show Wipeout plus putt-putt combined. And it's like, you know,
what
and
are you watching?
It's on ABC, dude. It's so good. It's a real show. It is so good.
You would rather watch that than college football. Now I don't feel bad for watching Western Kentucky.
No, not than college football. No. But I would rather watch it than NFL football. I'd rather listen. What my point is, I'd rather listen to Joe Tessitore do that than NFL games. So and instead of that, I'll totally watch Eli and Peyton.
Right.
Yeah.
So. No, I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, brother.
Yeah, man. Well, it's Bird Brains.
Absolutely. It's Bird Brains.
See you, man. Go Hokies.
Go Hokies.
All right, y'all. That's it for another week of Bird Brains. You did it. Now, remember, rate, subscribe, and tell your friends to listen, because you already listened. You don't have to listen again. Unless you want to. We'll see you next week.